chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 17 to 20. And out of Reverend Scott, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter will pass away from the law until all things are accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You may be seated. Many say we're in an enlightened era where we know so much more. And let me challenge that a little bit. Just read some of the test questions from 1895 for eighth graders. Name and define the fundamental rules of arithmetic. Question 2. A wagon box is 2 feet deep, 10 feet long, and 3 feet wide. How many bushels of wheat will it hold? Question 3. If a load of wheat weighs 3,942 pounds, what is its worth at 50 cents per bushel, deducting 1,050 pounds for tare? Question 4. District number 33 has a valuation of $35,000. What is the necessary levy to carry on a school 7 months at $50 per month and have $104 for incidentals? Question 5. Find the cost of 6,720 pounds of coal at $6 per ton. Question 6. Find the interest of $512.60 for 8 months and 18 days at 7%. Question 7. What is the cost of 40 boards 12 inches wide and 16 feet long at $20 per measure? Question 8. Find bank deposit on, find bank discount on $300 for 90 days, no grace, at 10%. Question 9. What is the cost of a square farm at $15 per acre, the distance around which is 640 rods? Question 10. Write a bank check, a promissory note, and a receipt. That's just the math part. U.S. history. Yeah. Give the epochs in which U.S. history is divided. Question 2. Give an account of the discovery of America by Columbus. Question 3. Relate the causes and results of the Revolutionary War. Question 4. Show the territorial growth of the United States. Question 5. Tell what you can of the history of Kansas. Yeah, this test was in Kansas. Question 6. Describe 3 of the most prominent battles of the rebellion. Question 7. Who were the following? Morse, Whitney, Fulton, Bell, Lincoln, Penn, and Howe. Question 8. Name events connected with the following dates: 1607, 1620, 1800, 1849, and 1865. Orthography. What is meant by the following? Alphabet, phonetic orthography, entomology, syllabification. What are the elementary sounds and how are they classified? What are the following and give examples of each? Trigraph, subvocals, diphthong, cognate letters, linguals. Give two rules for spelling words with the final E. Name 2 exceptions under each rule. Give 2 uses of silent letters in spelling. illustrate each. Define the following prefixes and use a connection with a word. By, dis, mis, pre, semi, post, non, leader, mono, super. Geography. What is climate? Upon what does climate depend? How do you account for the extremes of climate in Kansas? Of what use are rivers? Of what use is the ocean? Describe the mountains of North America. Name and describe the following: Monrovia, Odessa, Denver, Manitoba, Hecla, Yukon, St. Helena, Juan Fernandez, Aspinwall, and Orinoco. Name and locate the principal trade centers of the U.S. Name all of the republics of Europe and give capital of each. Why is the Atlantic Ocean colder than the Pacific in the same latitude? Describe the process by which water of the ocean returns to the sources of rivers. Describe the movement of the earth. Give inclination of the earth. And then physiology. What are saliva, gastric juices, and bile secreted? Or where are they secreted? What is the use of each in digestion? How does nutrition reach the circulation? What is the function of the liver, of the kidneys? How would you stop the flow of blood from an artery in the case of a laceration? 5. Give some general directions that you think would be beneficial to preserve the human body in a state of health. Now, these are questions for 8th graders from 1895. Yes. And you are not allowed to use a calculator because they weren't invented yet. Well, you did you could use a computer in the sense that NASA used computers in the 1950s. A computer was a person that did math. That's what a computer was. So when NASA scientists wanted to figure something out, they asked for a computer. In would run somebody with their slide rule, and they would do the math. Well, our standards obviously have lowered. This is just to graduate 8th grade. Today, it almost seems like the standard for graduation is, can you walk up a set of stairs when your name is called and get a piece of paper? The standards have been lowered. That doesn't mean that what some people try to say when they look at how many people are graduating high school now compared to the past. I would say many teachers would have trouble passing this 8th grade test these days, given the time limit they had to do it. Well, what does that have to do with our passage today? Some people think that Jesus lowered the standards because enough people were not getting into heaven. So he lowered the bar, lowered the standards. You don't have to keep the law to get into heaven anymore. You can just do what you want to do. As long as you're a good person, you get into heaven. Jesus was addressing that. He says, don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus is saying the standards for getting into heaven have not been lowered. All the rules of the Old Testament are still required to be followed to get into heaven. If you don't keep them, you face judgment day. And he's going to go through and list a few of them. But just remember the top 10. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 20 for a moment. Exodus chapter 20. And just look at the top 10. beginning in verse 1. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Do not have other gods besides me. Do not make an idol for yourself, whether in the shape of anything in the heavens above or on the earth below or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow and worship to them, and do not serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the father's iniquity to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commands. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son or daughter, your male or female servants, your livestock, or the resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your servant. God's standards are still the same. And if we look at each of these honestly, we've broken all the Ten Commandments. And we deserve the punishment for our choice to sin, eternity in hell, separated from God. But Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Turn me to Romans chapter 2 for a moment. Romans chapter 2. Yeah, sort of a Bible drill day. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. For a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, and true circumcision is not something visible in the flesh. On the contrary, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, by the Spirit, not the letter. That person's praise is not from people, but from God. So the standard that God gives is the same for Jew and Gentile alike. Some people might say, well, the Old Testament only applies to the Jewish people. Well, here Paul is telling us it applies to everyone. And then turn the page to chapter 3 of Romans. And let's look at verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. And if we look in Galatians chapter 3, what then is the purpose of the law? Galatians chapter 3. Verse 24, the law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. And that word guardian is, I like the better translations, our schoolmaster, our teacher, our instructor, showing you the truth. Look at verse 19, but still in Galatians. Why then was the law given? It was added for the sake of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. The law was put in effect through angels by means of a mediator. Now a mediator is not just for one person alone, but God is one. Is the law therefore contrary to God's promises? Absolutely not. For if the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin's power so that the promise might be given on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ to those who believe. And in Romans 7, verses 7 through 25, Paul talks about the law explaining to us what sin is. We find out we're transgressors because of the law of God. We find out what God's standards are, and we have broken God's standards. Now, there are many people today standing behind pulpits each week that refuse to talk about sin because sin is unpopular. Even have some saying, well, Jesus never condemned that sin. But Jesus said, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle, and that's the smallest Hebrew letter or the smallest little mark, like a dot on an I. So the smallest letter and the smallest little mark in Hebrew writing are not going to pass away until heaven and earth pass away. Now, earth's still here. It's going to get dark and we can see the heavens, the stars, that heaven, in a little bit. Unless the Lord comes and takes us home, and then we'll see it on the way. But heaven and earth has not passed away. So when somebody says, well, Jesus never said anything about that. Yes, he did. He said all of God's law are still in effect. Some people say sin is irrelevant because God just wants us to be happy. Healthy, wealthy, and wise, which is actually a quote from Poor Richard's Almanac from Benjamin Franklin, not from the Bible, although there are pulpits preaching about health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Jesus never talks about health, wealth, and prosperity. He talks about a right attitude. And we see what happens when the church stops preaching about the truth. Look at the state of our world today. People are violent. People abuse others inside and outside their family. Strangers. The latest shootings, it says there's no reason. The person just walked up and started shooting people randomly. There's no value of life. There are people that are arguing that life should be exterminated up to and even after birth. And then when they get too old to be convenient, euthanasia and abortion are hand in hand, removing the life that God has given. Our founding fathers understood that the source of our law, the source of everything we have, comes from God. That's why they proclaim that we get our rights from the laws of nature and nature's God. Not from a king on a throne. Not from ourselves. All we have is from God. And Jesus in our passage here today is saying God is not going to change his standards. If you don't keep his law, you're destined for hell. There has to be a punishment for your sin. But Jesus came to fulfill the law by taking the punishment on himself. Jesus then went on and said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. And then in chapter 6 of Matthew, he goes and describes about the type of righteousness the Pharisees and the scribes have. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6 of Matthew. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. You're not doing it for other people to applaud you. You're doing it because you're wanting to please God. And then in verse 5 of chapter 6, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Your prayer should not be for the purpose of people pointing to you and say, what a good prayer person. Now that doesn't mean don't pray in public. Your purpose should not be to get the attention of other people. And then verse 16 of chapter 6. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that their fasting is obvious to people. Don't do things just to be seen by people. Verse 19 of chapter 6, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is giving a different standard. The scribes and Pharisees said, keep all my rules. I'm not keeping them, but you keep them. And Jesus says, you tie a burden around people's necks, make a yoke that you won't even lift a finger to help with them. And then you travel all over the world to make a convert. But you pervert the truth. You're a whitewashed tomb. You look good on the outside, but the inside you're just full of people's bones. Jesus was making it clear here. The standard of God has not changed. The Ten Commandments still apply. And if you want to get to heaven on your own, you got to keep all the commandments. Your entire life. And no one has done that. So the law is put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We recognize that we are sinners and there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. And we plead for the mercy of God, which he pours out on us if we accept his payment of our sin debt. We cannot get to heaven on our own. God is not going to lower his standards to you're better than the other person near you. That's not his standard. Jesus tells us, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. We can't do it on our own. But Jesus, through his blood, purifies us from all unrighteousness. His sacrifice cleanses us so we have access to heaven. God didn't lower his standard. He took the penalty, the debt we owe, and paid it himself. The Old Testament still applies, but we're not saved by keeping the law. We're saved by faith. But if we are saved, we have God's Spirit living within us to help us strive to keep God's law because it pleases God, not because it saves us. A different reason for doing what Scripture points to. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Let us remember that we are God's ambassadors, proclaiming a message of how to get right with God to all the world. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part in what you're doing. Let us share your truth, being salt and light wherever we are. And the longer we're left here, the more we see how dark the world is without your light shining. In Jesus' name, let us be your servants. Amen.